Good morning. Merry Christmas, or should I say, Merry Epiphany? Well, you might say, these events have already come and gone. But really, when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, He enables us to have a merry heart, that is, a joyful heart, because every single day He continues to bless us the gift of forgiveness and the glorious future of eternal life in heaven. Begin with prayer. Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth, and finally attain to the light of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Service that we'll be using this morning is found in the worship supplement on page 12 and following. Worship supplement, page 12. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we've disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I'm altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you of all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, almighty Father, heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ,
had been made to offer a prayer for Don Drews, who in his winter years of life certainly is experiencing some difficulties. We approach the throne of God in Jesus' name. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the one who cares for us from the very beginning of our life to the very end. And as we approach the latter years of our life, we recognize that we experience health problems, as Don has been. We pray that you would show him mercy and kindness and bless his health, give him the strength that he needs according to your will. But above all, we pray that you would continue to sustain his faith and that wonderful gift of eternal life that your Son, his Savior, has blessed him with. Almighty God, you gave your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We are in the midst of Epiphany. And Epiphany means manifestation or revealing. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the apostle speaks of having been called by the Lord to reveal the mystery of Christ, the gospel, which is hidden to all the unbelievers. And so he writes, "Surely you have heard about the ministration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." I invite you to join me in the responsive reading of the Psalm for the day, found in the bulletin. "My heart is overflowing with a good theme. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Grace is poured upon your lips. In your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness.
And your right hand shall teach you awesome things.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. You love righteousness and hate wickedness.
Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your enemies."
We also read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, where we hear that familiar account of the wise men coming from the east to worship the baby king. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? They saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Blessed are all those who hear the word of God and embrace it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Rise. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we ask that those who have been elected to serve in the council come forward for installation. Dear brothers in Christ, you have been elected in a regular meeting of this congregation as members of the church council. As such, you will be working together with Pastor-elect Luke Bernthal in the work of building up the kingdom of God among you. You are to see that the service of God's house be held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel be preached in its purity, in accordance with the teachings of Scripture and the confessions of the Lutheran Church, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that church discipline be maintained. You are to administer the temporal affairs of the congregation, keep its property in good repair, and provide for the pastor's support and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastor in the care of the sick and the needy and the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members, in the promotion of the general welfare of the congregation, and in the building of Christ's kingdom at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set your own families and the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life. In order, then, that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God gives? If so, then answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, you are then to carry out the role to which you have been elected. You are called upon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of the church of which he is the head to give all diligence to perform your duties with faithfulness, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Make the word of God your guide and search it daily for instruction. And so that your labors may serve for the glory of God, the best interests of the congregation, and your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, richly endow you with his grace and bless abundantly all your faithful labors. We pray. O most merciful and gracious God, who is an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows, we beseech you, for Jesus' sake, send your Holy Spirit upon these your servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may by prayer and supplication make their requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may edify your congregation, and that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Make them a blessing to your believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant that also by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name may be hallowed, your kingdom enlarged, and your will done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, brethren, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We continue with the next hymn. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in this sin-troubled world through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we consider for our enlightenment is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning with verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. So far as word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. Having embarked on another new year, as we look down the road of life, do we have reason to look to the future with confidence and hope, or with grave concerns, causing fear and trepidation? Certainly, there are a number of areas of life that could point to things that would give us concern. However, no matter what we face in the future, we don't have to be afraid. Because the sure word of God has promised us he's always going to be with us to help us no matter what we face in life. In regard to the most important aspect of life, namely the spiritual conditions found in the world today, we'd have to say that we have good reason to be concerned. Consider the trend of things in the religious, moral, and social areas of life. In the religious realm, we find that there are churches that continue to spiritually abuse their members when they neglect to focus their attention on the gospel of God's forgiveness and the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and instead spend a lot more time on addressing political, economic, ecological, and things of this life. In the religious teachings of a vast majority of churches today, we find that there's a mixture. There's a mixture of what you find in the Bible and what comes out of the flawed human thinking of man. Flawed human science, flawed human psychology, flawed social and moral ideals. And while the opinion polls say that there's still a number of people in our society today believe in a God, yet when you look at folks in our society, you find that a vast majority of them are not looking to God's word for a guide to lead them in their living in this world. As a result of the fast-growing spiritual and moral bankruptcy in our society, marriages are breaking down. The nuclear family is fast becoming an endangered unit. Sexual immorality is pervasive in our society, and human conflicts, they're flaring up all over the place. People's personal lives, ethnic, religious, and national circles. The doleful consequence of these conditions of life are heartache and guilt, pain and suffering, disease and physical death, and in many cases, it's spiritual and eternal death. These and other grievous conditions of our day and age are certainly a fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah foretold when he said, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." This darkness is not talking about some kind of a physical eclipse of the sun. It's talking about, rather, a spiritual, moral, and social eclipse with many people living in darkness. This darkness involves ignorance and rebelliousness. The mind of the unregenerate unbeliever is grossly darkened concerning the truths about God, life, and mankind. Some examples of the sin-darkened minds of man are the following. God, he is whomever and whatever you make him out to be. All religious beliefs are just a kind of a human development of culture. Man is a part of the animal kingdom, and he has the right and the authority to establish the laws of the jungle. Parents, you just leave the religious matter of your children to themselves and let them decide what they want to believe when they grow up. And if they've got troubles, take them to the Freudian psychiatrist. And man, he is basically good and not evil. So when you're dealing with those criminals, those lawbreakers, you just call upon them to draw deep down inside themselves from that inner goodness. And then they will be law-abiding citizens. What do you think? Sounds like darkness, doesn't it? While such destructive ways of thinking make the prospect of the future rather dark and bleak and gloomy, yet there is a ray of hope that we have reason to look to the future with confidence. Isaiah speaks of that light breaking through the gloom of night and dispelling despair. Isaiah declares, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." That glorious, radiant light is our Savior, Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we hear the evangelist telling us certain wonderful truths about Jesus, whose birthday we just recently celebrated. It testifies of Jesus' preexistence before he became man, how that in eternity he was true God, who was the Word. This is kind of a strange concept when you refer to someone as being the Word. The Word of God incarnate, but it's very significant because it's telling us that Jesus came to reveal the wonderful truths of God. Hidden truths, just like what the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians. The mystery of the gospel of Christ. With Jesus being the divine revealer, John goes on to speak of Jesus as the light of mankind, who sheds light in the sin-darkened world and enables people, the walking dead, to come to life. I'm not talking about the zombies. I'm talking about spiritually dead. Jesus also testified about himself, "I am the light of the world." And that great and glorious light wasn't just going to be shining upon the Jews in Palestine of his day. It was going to be shining upon the Gentiles of every race, nation, and tribe in every generation of time. And Jesus speaks about his worldwide mission. He says, "I've come as the light into the world. And whoever they are, wherever they live, whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You know, as the light of the world, Jesus revealed himself as one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He made known who the true God is. It's not a matter of, well, whoever you think he may be is God. No, he said, "Your God, your Maker, your Redeemer, and your Sanctifier is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three-in-one God. He alone is God." Jesus also revealed to us that everything recorded in the Bible, everything, is God's inerrant, inspired, absolute truth. Now that's, you know, there would be a lot of people in our day and age that would really kind of, absolute truth, huh? Yes, absolute truth. And it's unchangeable. It doesn't change with the times. It always stands as the truth till the very end. Any kind of teaching that you hear, that you read, and if it's not found in the Bible, it's not of God, but rather the product of man's flawed thinking. This Bible that God has handed down to us is lifted up by Jesus as a beacon that shines as a glorious light to dispel the darkness in this world. It is the only source and norm for faith and life. So we're not going to be going to the bookstore, for self-help books. And when we've got troubles for our life, we're going to look to God's Word. That's going to give us that sure guidance. Now, I'm not saying that self-help books, if it's founded on Scripture, that's fine. But a lot of times, it's not. Shedding light on the origins of the world and man, Jesus confirmed the belief that God made the world with his almighty power, with his word, saying, "Let there be," and it came into existence in the space of just six normal 24-hour days. Now, you may have grown up with that. Don't take it for granted, because you can find in many different Christian churches pastors saying, "Oh, you know, those scientists, they certainly have got something there. And there must be something to this evolutionary kind of process." And so they try to fit it into Scripture. But it's like taking a square hole and taking a round ball, and you can't fit it in there. No, God has revealed to us he made the world in a space of a week. Man, he's not a part of the animal kingdom. He is the chiefmost of God's creation. As for the guiding light of godliness of living, Jesus reaffirmed the Ten Commandments as being God's unchangeable moral standard for our life, for our lifestyles. God's standard of morality doesn't change with the whims and the fancies of society. And there's a good reason for that. Because God's will is good and right, and it is a great blessing to us when we observe that will in our life. You deviate from His will and you run into all kinds of problems. When Jesus was clarifying the meaning of the divine precepts of the Ten Commandments, He left no room for doubt that God's commandments to love your neighbor means everybody, including your enemy. Unlike the radical Islam movement, Christianity is not a teaching where we're told to kill our enemies. We're to love, befriend them, and help them. I realize that in this world that there are times where we have to fight the enemy. That's a sad reality of this world. But whenever we can, we do what we're able to in helping our enemy. Jesus also upheld this sacred institution of marriage that He established at the beginning of time for the blessing of mankind. And concerning this unchangeable will of God, Jesus made it clear that marriage is made up of a man and a woman, and it's only when they're united together as husband and wife that they live together and experience the joys and pleasures of the sexual union. And this is a marriage that is to be lifelong, unbroken. Although Jesus shed light on these and other divine precepts of God, the inborn state of man makes him spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus didn't just come to clarify the moral precepts of God. He came to give us life. He came to give us spiritual life. Finally, eternal life. The sun. Of course, we don't see much of it today. But when it shines, it's something very special. Needful. We need that sunlight to warm the earth and cause life to spring forth. If you don't have the sun, if it were to be blocked out, life would cease to exist. And so also in a spiritual way, the light of God's saving word that shines forth from the Bible gives us life. Give me an example. We talked about marriage. And we know that there's no perfect marriage, for the simple fact that we're sinners, and we will invariably hurt one another in marriage by what we say or do or fail to say or do. But we have a Savior who has taken away the guilt of our sins. And that wonderful forgiving love warms our hearts and enables us to forgive our spouse when we've been wronged or injured. When we look at Christ and how He lived His life for us, you know, self-giving, self-sacrificing, putting others before Himself, we have a wonderful model to follow in our marriage. And this can make for a loving, meaningful, and lasting marriage when we find life in Christ. Isaiah prophesied of that wondrous light coming to this earth to dispel the gloom of night. And, you know, the joy that we experience, you know, first of all, it's a joy of knowing we're forgiven. It's a joy of knowing that, you know, when we come to the latter days of our life, we know that we're going to go to heaven. Because Jesus paid the price, opened wide the gates of heaven, gave to us the gift of eternal life, which we receive through faith. But, you know, aside from that wonderful joy that we experience in that, there's also the joy of seeing others brought into the kingdom of light. Isaiah was writing about that when he says, "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall nurse at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy." People of every race, nation, tribe will be gathered in to the kingdom of light. As the light of God's saving grace shines forth in the Christian church and in the Christian life. Now, in the area that you're living in, you have quite a mix of folks who come from all over the world, many different kinds of background, cultures. That light is intended for them, not just for you. Isaiah foretells the coming of the promised light, Jesus Christ, saying to you, "Arise and shine." And he later says to the people that the people will come to your light. God wants us to let our light shine. Jesus spoke of that in one of his sermons when he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You let your light shine just simply by living a Christian life. And people can see there's a difference. You know, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you conduct your life. And they can see the light of Christ shining through your life. But it's also talking about how we are to testify of our beliefs. With the present world falling deeper and deeper into the eclipse of spiritual darkness, the need is ever greater for every Christian to let their light shine in the world. That means, in a very loving way, expose darkness. Now, that's not very popular, is it? Who are you to judge? But that is the way in which they're going to be able to finally see the light of God's saving truth, when the darkness has been exposed, and to help people to see how destructive it is. And then when they come to that knowledge, then they're ready to hear about their Savior. And you comfort them in the knowledge of God's full and free forgiveness through faith in Christ. So as we embark in another year, we have every reason to look to the future with confidence and hope. May our hearts and minds ever be nurtured through God's word so that we grow in knowledge and faith, so that that light shines even more brightly in our hearts and in our lives, and let it shine. Let it shine before others that you come into contact with. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Created we a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take my
Please be seated. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. We continue with the singing of the next hymn.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, eternal God, yours alone is the power, the kingdom, and all glory. To you alone belongs authority over all the world, over all earthly powers, and above all human knowledge. We give to you our thanksgiving and praise. We thank you that by the leading of a star you brought wise men from the east to the feet of our Lord, showing forth your light to the Gentiles. Lead all nations of the earth to know Jesus Christ as Lord, and grant wisdom to all rulers of men, that they may serve him in love and honor. Prosper and bless your word and the preaching of the gospel, that many may come to faith in Jesus, so that salvation may go forth to the ends of the earth. Through your true word, give courage and strength to all faithful ministers, missionaries, and Christian workers, so that their labor may be blessed, bringing forth abundant fruit for your kingdom. Grant to all who hear your word faith to believe it, strength to follow it, and courage to profess it in word and deed. Overcome and defeat all powers of darkness that bind people in chains of superstition and ignorance, and all forces of false teaching and unbelief that mislead people's minds. We ask you, dear Lord, to preserve your people who are gathered here before you. Lead us to bring to your Son the treasures of our time and talent, giving our whole lives for his service. Grant that we may always walk in the light of your Son, Jesus, so that we might faithfully follow the path you have set before us, that we may at last receive the crown of eternal life through faith in your Son, Jesus. For those among us who are sick or troubled, we pray that you would look upon them in mercy and give them deliverance from all their trials. By your guidance, comfort the elderly, the lonely, and the forsaken. Shepherd the young, heal the brokenhearted, daily forgive us of our sins, and grant us newness of life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and in whose name we also join to pray that prayer which Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to serve you with the word. And if you have other announcements that need to be made. Yes?
Let's see. No Bible study today. Pastor Ryan, I think, is a little bit concerned about travel conditions with storms. Next Sunday, church council meets following the service. The following Sunday, the 22nd, is the annual meeting. Reports are due to Nick. When, Nick?
This Friday.
This Friday?
Wow.
Coming up very soon.
Okay. Actually, I guess by Sunday.
All right.
May God embrace you with you always.